Tonight we're going to do Resh Mem Tet, and it's an exciting new topic within Hilchot Shabbat, is preparing for Shabbat on Erev Shabbat and making it a different day than every other day. The Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav, used to say, in America, different than Europe, he said there are a lot of things that people took with them from Europe, pre-World War II, to America, and people try to replicate and do well. He said, Shabbat is one of the things that there's some people who do Shabbat properly in America. Okay. He said that's something that we're working on, but it's something that people do. He said, but the Friday, the Erev Shabbat Yid, the Friday for a Jew that prepares for Shabbat and anticipates Shabbat properly, he said, nothing like that in America, the Erev Shabbos Jew. Why? He said, because everybody is so busy, they're going to work and coming back from work, that you can't, everybody has to make a parnasa. And then the time they're traveling, and getting back a minute before Shabbos, so when do you have time to, like, get changed and get ready and anticipate Shabbat and say Shir Shirim and appreciate what Shabbat is all about? You know, Misha, if someone is mechin for Shabbat or they cook for Shabbat, then they're going to enjoy Shabbat. So it's not just about cooking food, it's also about mentally preparing. So that's an idea the Rav said, just it's so critical not just to focus only on Shabbat, but also on Friday. This halachot, this whole siman, Halachot of Fridays. Okay? And I think it should give us a mindset that the more a person anticipates Shabbat, the more he's going to appreciate Shabbat, the more he's going to get out of Shabbat.
So I think that Shabbat is literally where it starts. That's it.
Right.
That's what Shabbat is. Like, since the beginning of Shabbat till the end of Shabbat.
So, right. So I spoke to someone today.
Yeah.
And I talked to a Shabbat. Mm-hmm. And they say, no, don't talk to a Shabbat. It's only Monday. Are they right or am I right?
Okay, you could talk about Shabbat right here. Yeah,
you got to plan in advance, no?
Yeah. It says, okay, I'll do one more thing. The Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, the original founders of one of the major Tanaim, it says that Shammai and Hillel had a dispute how to prepare for Shabbat. It says that Shammai, he would go to the marketplace and he found something nice, a nice piece of meat. Even on Sunday, he'd take it and... Oh, sorry, Hillel, if he found a good piece of meat, he'd store it away, preserve it, and prepare for Shabbat to eat on Shabbat. Anything beautiful, nice, good tasting, delicious, he'd wait and save it for Shabbat. And that's what it says I really meant from Sunday already. That's what
Shammai
did. And it says Hillel midachar haytabam. Hillel did something else. Whenever he would find something good, he'd make it if he could afford it. He would make it for dinner. He was very poor. He hardly had anything more. It says he had one coin he'd make every day, one for food he'd save, and one coin for his family to have for his family's food, and the other one he'd say give to the midrash. Hardly any money every single day. Anyway, he used to say Baruch Hashem Yom Yom every single day. I should give Hashem Mein Brachotav Shel Yom. I should give Hashem the blessing for that day. I appreciate what every day comes with, and if I found something good, I should make a bracha that day. So what do we follow? What do we usually do? Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. What do we usually do?
Beit Hillel.
99%. Oh, we always follow Beit Hillel. There's 6 exceptions in the Gemara. Tosfos says from the Rav Amram going 20. It's like 18 other exceptions with 26 cases. But 24 cases. But really, most of the time, of the thousands of cases, we always follow Hillel. This case is the Ramban, but it's also like the other post-game. We follow Beit Shammai. Why? In the Ramban, it's not really a machlokas. They both agree you're supposed to appreciate Hashem every day and bless Hashem each day.
Later. He just had the opportunity later, no? Because he was poor.
He was poor, no, but besides that he was poor, he had a lot of munah, and he sometimes found something that was good. But he ate it that night. Why didn't he save it for Shabbat like Shammai did? So the answer Ramban says is it just depends. If you have a munah, you're going to get something else. Hillel said, I got something good today, I may as well eat it today, because I know on Friday I'm going to find something good. I don't have to worry, Shabbat's going to... And Shammai said, I'm not so sure. If I find something good, I'll save it for Shabbat. And that for sure is a beautiful, a very, very important concept of Kavod Shabbat, preparing for Shabbat. What? You want to say?
Just thinking, I don't know how to articulate it yet, but Beit Shammai would store something for Shabbat. Right?
Yes.
So,
and that's what we do. Yeah.
Emunah aside, I feel like if you find something that's very, I guess, great, or mm-hmm. a piece of food that's very great, and meat, whatever it was that he was saving, not that you're not going to find one later, not that Beit Shammai was like, I'm not going to find this later, but it was very special, he wanted to save it for Shabbat.
for sure, yes. So like that's definitely
even
the shot.
If you find something earlier in the week, say for Shabbat. Not because you don't think you're going to find something for Shabbat that's later in the week, but also.
You're saying that this is my Shabbat to do properly. Yes. There's a very important concept like that. We'll talk about it more. We'll talk about buying food for Shabbat, cooking for Shabbat. Those are mitzvot. Those are very important things to prepare for Shabbat. Kavach Chaim has its mentake in the food. It's very chashuv. It gives a kedusha. If you even have leftover Shabbat, it has a certain level of kedusha. The food to prepare for Shabbat. Very important. Anyway, Rishon Tet, Sif Aleph, in the Maran, the Shulchan Aruch at the top, he says as follows, in the middle, in Hochin, Be'erev Shabbat, Yodim Yishosh Parso, you shouldn't travel too far on Fridays,
three Parso.
Kedei She'egi L'Beito, so what is a Parso? Parso, each Parso is four, right, four, it's four mil, and a mil, a parsa is only 4 mil. So it's not so much. But four mil, even if you use, let's say, the 18-minute mil, 4 mil is going to be like 72 minutes. So 3 parsas is 3 times 72 minutes. So we're talking about traveling for 3 hours, and 3.5, more, a little more than 3.5 hours. So 3 hours, 3 and 3 quarters, a little less than 4 hours.
It's a measure of distance or a measure of time.
Ah, it's a machloka. Like most things. Let's see. So basically, if we said it even the lenient way, up to 4 hours, okay, so that's like, I'm going to go from here to, I don't know, it's a California trip. We have the time difference. When you go from here to California, you gain 3 hours because of the time difference.
But it's a five-hour
flight. Five-hour flight. So it comes out 2 hours now. Obviously, with everything else in between, takes a little longer. Okay, but definitely you can go. Let's say if you're just using 4 hours, you can go from here to Boston, here to Baltimore, or whatever. You can go pretty far, but you can't go on a trip from here to Toronto, whatever, or Pittsburgh, a 6 hour, 10 hour trips, because those are really too far. So. Let's keep going. But that's the main idea here. Is there's a limit that we're setting on how far you should travel on Fridays. Why? Because what would be the reason? If you had to say, what do you think the Maran's reason is? You shouldn't travel more than three parsa on Fridays.
Worry about Shabbat.
Worry about Shabbat. Meaning afraid that I'm going to get in traffic or get stuck and then violate Shabbat. Is that we're worried? Or be stuck.
Not prepared.
Oh, that's a different reason. Right, it's a slightly different reason. One is, I'm going to be stuck and in a place of danger. I'm going to have to violate Shabbat, either by Heter or by Yisur, but I don't want to come into that. And the other one is, Hachana, if I don't prepare, I'm not going to have food for Shabbat. Now, what's the nafkamina between those two? If it's a matter of getting stuck in traffic, in the middle of nowhere, so if that's the reason, so then it's going to be a problem if you get very close to Shabbat. Okay. And then, fine. That's one thing. But if it's a matter of preparing the food, so then as long as someone else prepared the food for me, I call home and I say, Mom, you're going to prepare food for me? So sure. I prepared it 2 days ago. Everything's in the freezer. Everything's in the fridge. Everything's on the blech. Everything's good. All the food's ready to go. So then, according to that, you'd be allowed to travel more. Okay, so let's see the way the Maran says. It says you're not supposed to travel more than three parsa. We said about less than 4 hours of traveling. Yuchal lahachin sorchei suda l'shabbat. So the way the Maran says the ikar reason is, I have time to prepare food. Okay? And bein sholech l'beit acharim, bein sholech l'beito. Whether I'm going to my house or someone else's house, I should have time that I can prepare food.
What does that mean? Because
you have to prepare food? No, it's not a dafka mitzvah. You have to prepare the food. Someone else prepares the food. I mean, it's a mitzvah to prepare food. But they did the mitzvah, they were prepared. So you don't have to do it again. But what it means here, beit acharim, it means if they didn't prepare for you, because they know you were coming. They didn't have phones, you didn't always arrange it.
Yeah. But they're related, because the reason you wouldn't have time to prepare is because you didn't get there on time. So it's not ignoring the traffic aspect.
No, traffic is definitely built into this, for sure. I meant, but like, a different svara, maybe we're worried about chilul Shabbat. If a guy's going to come so close to Shabbat, and then Chasam might by accident be Mechal Shabbat or on purpose Mechal Shabbat because he's afraid or Beheter because of Pichol Nefesh, he's in a dangerous place Mechal Shabbat. So we talked about a little bit the third one. Pukuch Nefesh, a fascinating topic that we discussed, Sal and I, last week. Could you put yourself in a situation which is going to come out that I'm going to have to work on Shabbat because of Pukuch Nefesh? So, for example, a guy goes to the army or really a guy becomes a doctor. A guy says, I'm going to go into the army. Let's say there's not a draft. Let's say he just decides in America. He says, I want to go to the army. He doesn't have to. Now, it could be if he's going to be on duty, then he's going to have to be working on Shabbat. He's going to have to travel. He's going to have to go places on Shabbat. Now, if it'll be necessary, so it'll be, and then it'll be Pekol Nefesh. It'll be a wartime or something else like that. So Pekol Nefesh, he has to. But should he have joined in the beginning? Should he have said, no, I'd rather not go? What do you think? And then the same thing with doctors, not the question really about working on Shabbat, but as much as residency. If it's an option, in theory, some places you'll have such an option. There's a Shomer Shabbat residency or other residency or regular residency, so that sometimes there's options one way to do the other. So if I could plan that, should I have to? So what do you say, Sally?
We have to plan it, basically.
The etzem, there's such a concept. In practice, there's definitely going to be different opinions in each case. And part of that goes to lead on your conversation with your friend is you only need to prepare for Shabbat from Wednesday and on. That's the Ikar. Ikar is thinking about from Wednesday and on. 3 days, because Shabbat's like the middle. It's the Tachlit HaMaaseh. It holds up the whole world. Shabbat, that's why the world is created. 3 days before Shabbat. And there's 3 days after Shabbat. It's like a menorah. You have the middle candle, that's Shabbat. It gives aura to the days before and the days after. So from Wednesday and on to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days before, already has Kedusha Shabbat coming in. Ashkenazim have a custom that already on Wednesday after Yishuv Shalom, they say Lechum L'Ranana. They say Psukim of Kabbalah
Shabbat. So that's why when you're doing something before Shabbat, or let's say Havdalah, you have until then.
Right, exactly. You have Havdalah until Tuesday.
And we see the structure in Priya Havdalah has three.
Right.
But you're saying the Shabbat extended has
a remnant of Shabbat until Tuesday. Exactly.
The previous and then the Shabbat after that comes beforehand.
Exactly. Yeah.
What's
a remnant of the fact that we have it 3 days before? So this is the halacha that I'm familiar with, is that going on a boat in their day, when it was, it might lead to Chol Shabbat going on a boat, today going on a cruise is not the same. So then, you're allowed to go on the boat on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, but not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or elective surgery, or Brit Milah that's delayed.
It has to do with missing breaking Shabbat. It has nothing to do with Shabbat repairing the weekdays.
No, it doesn't. Sorry, it's not like that exactly. Yeah, it's just that I should be thinking about Shabbat. In the Gemara Gittin, when they're talking, the guy writes Mekame Shabbat. I got divorced before Shabbat. Which day does it mean? It means Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. That's just the language that they spoke about. Or after Shabbat, if they got divorced after Shabbat, what does it mean? It means Sunday, Monday, or Tuesday. That's just the language. What's something that is a good example? I'm not sure how Shabbat's impairing those days. I have to think about it. Right, come with a good example, you know. Alright, so anyway, the Mishnah Rab says, in Sif Gimel, Sif Katan Gimel, you know, just do something in Aleph. What about, we say three parsa, that's 12 mil. 12 mil is not so far. 12 mil is going to be, three parsa, which is 12 mil. 12 mil is more than 6 miles. Okay, so like, okay, so the time thing. So the question is, when we say 6 miles, or go more than 6 miles, does that go by distance? Can't travel more than 6 miles, so that would be a tremendous chumrah. You can't go, forget about to California or to Boston. You can't even go, you can go to like Teaneck, that's it. You can't even go like all the way. You go downtown, you can't go Long Island. You can't go more than 6 miles, huh? You can't go very far from here. If you go by time, 4 hours is a long time. You could travel pretty far with 4 hours. Okay, so where does it go? So in Aleph, he says, Mitchilat Hayom, Vukarov L'Shish Hayom, a third of the day. It's about 4 hours. A third of the day in Halacha is 4 hours. Kim Halach, Adam Benoni, Ezra Parso Bayom. Okay. It's the language of Chazal is a person can walk 10 parsa, and we said a parsa is 4 mil, so that's about 2 miles, so a person can walk about 20 miles a day. That's the Chazal's estimation of a person walking. Probably in the army you do that in a few hours. What is it, how much?
The pace?
The next one. In other words, if you have a community
clock, so that... San
Chanim?
Okay.
You're
20
casual night.
20 is enough. So in the Chazal, that's the number we give. 40 mil a day, which is about 20 miles for the whole, for one day. That's how much a person walks. Either way, That just, and therefore you calculate about a third of the day. No, say bagala or rechav al suz. What if you travel by horse? Okay, today we have cars and train and airplanes. No, say behera. Okay, it really was a time and not distance. So the kula really is 4 hours. 4 hours you can travel, no question. Okay, so then yeah, we're still back to talking about going from here to wherever, to, you know, with the airplane, very far. Okay, maybe to California. Fine. Me'abach. Same thing. Okay. He already introduced, there is an opinion, the Bach, who basically says, 4 hours is not really the Ikar. It's not only 4 hours. You can just travel as long as you leave yourself time enough to prepare food. So what's that? That's much less. Could be, how long does it take to prepare food? Could be very little.
Depending on if you're a man or a woman.
If you're going to bake from scratch.
A minimal seudah, you don't...
Yeah, you buy a deli pack and a roll.
Some hummus.
Exactly. Or
some tuna in the shetah.
Yeah, but if you don't make from scratch, so you make challah, that could take an hour. And you make from scratch something else. And then... it takes an hour or 2 hours. Fine. That's at most. Anyway, look in Gimel. There's more who say like this also. He says, Gimel. Halech lebeito. Avshu mechavein shebeito yelo yoter onik Shabbat. Mekom mekom asur. A guy, let's say, is saying, I want to go home. Why do I want to go home? Because I enjoy it at home much more than staying in the random place, getting stuck on the road. So I'm going to keep traveling. So I'm going to keep going past the time I'm supposed to go. I'm going to keep going so I can get home. He says, you shouldn't do that. Because maybe at home they didn't prepare for me. Then he says, today in our generation, in our countries, most people, most Jewish mothers, prepare more than necessary. So that even if you come in, you didn't tell me you were coming out today, also we have phones. So, the likelihood...
We have much more reasons to be lenient.
Yeah, in the days of the Mishnah Berurah, he was talking in 1920s, today in America or wherever, in 2019, I think it's extremely common that people usually have food in the freezers. They have so much food in the fridge. They're going to have enough to be able to have food for the meal.
Unbelievable bracha.
It's tremendous.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's why there's a lot more room to make hell, according to the Maran. L'chein ein nizharim bazeh klal. So we're not makbid on 4 hours. That's not the halacha. It says in Shavuot Chanaruch, 4 hours. The Mishnah says they're not, and Ravad is also like that. We're not makbid on 4 hours. You could travel more than that. Then he says, however, I'm skipping the next line. Still, this is going to the other point we brought up, you shouldn't travel so close to Shabbat. It happens a lot of times, there's obstacles, and then it comes out to people make mistakes. It's always stressful if a guy is in traffic and stuck. On the exact flat tire. That's really tough thing. AAA, whatever. But then it's really to get until you get towed. The whole thing is a big mess. Yeah, but when you're talking, even just simple thing, you're stuck on the cross Bronx and you're trying to go to New Jersey. I'm from West Orange, a town New Jersey. Right. If you don't prepare and you're stuck coming from Brooklyn to New Jersey and you get stuck on the highway, you could be there for an hour just moving two blocks. Right. And then what do you do? So the best thing to do when you're stuck in traffic and it's close to Shabbat is get off the highway, find the next safe place to go, and go there, find a Chabad, find a Jewish place, and stay there wherever it is. That's definitely the best thing to do. You don't have to deal with any Chilul Shabbat. Now, people often, when they're under stress, sometimes push it to the last second because they want to get home. I understand that. Especially when you came home from work or something like that, and it's... So it's very, very not simple. What's the best things to do? So driving on Shabbat is not a possibility. What is a possibility is...
You have to park the car if you're in the
on the highway, park the car. Yeah, or usually you can go... You can park a car in some near some mall or in the street or somewhere else you can park it. Right. What do you do, though? You can take a cab. This is a kula, which is Chama Vanya Holzo. Is take a cab during Banish Mashon, non-Jewish driver.
So,
that's the twilight time. So time from after Shkiah, sunset, until So if we just use 13 and a half minutes, that's not very long. Let's say even if we extend it in America, 20 minutes. So definitely to use 20 minutes to have the Najah. You tell them, I'm going to get in the cab before, right before Shabbat. Or even if he opens the door for me, even on Shabbat. I get in the cab, he drives, so it's Dirabanan, he's driving, the non-Jew is driving.
I pay,
do the Uber before, I press the Uber button and pay him. Or it's going to be on the computer, it'll pay. And then he's going to drive, so I'm in the car, so it's driving. And then when I get there, so that'll be okay. Now, how far could you do this? How long can you do this for? So if you're just doing a Dirabanan Shemashor, it's not going to get you so far. 20 minutes, still helpful, but it's not so far. Could you do it beyond that? So it's not the later it becomes, the less pashut it becomes. Rely on Amir Lanachri during Mesh Mashot, that's something Muskam and Shachan Aruch for a Sarach, we allow it, so this will be a big Sarach, it'll be important.
Why can't you drive yourself in Mesh Mashot?
Can't drive, very good question. Because when it comes to Mesh Mashot, we say it has aspects of Shabbat already. It's sunset, we treat it like Shabbat. Min HaTorah, once it's sunset, the day is over, and we're assuming it's already the next day. Now, Midrabanan, we say that next 13 and a half minutes, Safek, it's a little bit like day and like night. So on Dirabanan, we'll make hell. So asking a non-Jew to do something for me is Dirabanan. So we'll make hell. So for a need, like it's being a need.
The Raya say you're not make hell. You're more strict.
Say it again.
For the Raya say you're more strict.
For the Raya we're more strict. Exactly. For the Raya we're more strict. Dirabanan will make hell. That's definitely. So to go in 20 minutes, Pashut Matar.
What would be the Raya? I'm sorry. Just like as you see the sunset.
So when you see the sun setting, the right thing to do is get off and either see if you can find some town nearby and stay there, or get in the cab and then go with the cab. Now, if you can go with the cab 20 minutes, Pashut, that I would say is no problem. If you're going to have to be driving for an hour, whatever, for more than 20 minutes, so there's different opinions. Ask a rabbi, but there will be Yesh HaMal as well. So you're using Rabbeinu Tam Shito, there'll be what to rely on. It's still going to be Dirabanan, but okay, we still don't rely on Dirabanan after Ben HaShemashot, but even there we have Shuot to Shuot, Makom Mitzvah.
So what level of Ben HaShemashot we could find?
We're going to use the Rabbeinu Tam, so 58 and a half minutes. That's the most Mikael Ben HaShemashot. But this is the type of thing, if you know it's going to be very long, it's the type of thing, call a rabbi, call someone, check in what they'll tell you to do. It happened, or in the subway, if you get on the subway before, so traveling on the subway in New York City or wherever you have something like that, staying on the subway is not a problem. See, let's say I'm running late, whatever, I'm trying to get downtown or something, so get on the subway before Shabbat, then you can go on the show now.
What if it's automatic, like some trains in Europe, they don't even have an authority driving it?
But still, exactly, the paying. In other words, if I can get on before Shabbat, that's what. If I can get on before Shabbat, that's for sure the way to go. If I can't, then you have to do certain things. One of them is ask a non-Jew to pay for you. Give him your card, swipe. Now, the problem is, besides that, you have to deal with carrying. If you're in Eruv, that's going to help. But if you're already in the subway car, then there's no carrying. You don't have to worry. If you're even in an underground area, it could be it's not. That's already itself an Eruv. But once we're talking about from the street down to the subway, that's already going to be a problem carrying. Unless you're inside, Upper West Side, you're in a place where there's an Eruv. So, right, so then another issue to this entirely is Tchum, is going outside a city, 2,000 Amot. For that, lots and lots of times it's not an issue. We talked about that last time because cities are one big Tchum. So in New York City is one big
thing. Outside the city.
Yeah, for outside the city it's a very different discussion, but lots of times for this is lots there's lots of cases to be made out, but yes, that is something to keep in mind. Okay. So anyway, that's the
very not to get into it.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Just to recap a tiny bit, what we said last week, a story that was a boy of a couple that was very sick. It was a couple that didn't have children for a long time, and they had this child, and then they couldn't find any refuah with any doctors, any rabbis, no one helped them. So they said, it was 1930s, go ask the Chafetz Chaim for a bracha. So they traveled very far to get a bracha, but he was very sick, so they couldn't come in. And then they asked the nephew, who was like a shamash, who was helping out the Chafetz Chaim, could we please get a bracha? He said, I'm sorry, he's not well enough to see people, but maybe come in the house, and maybe if he sees and he hears here's what's going on. Maybe he'll feel up to it. So he heard the mother crying, and he felt, okay, tell me what's going on. And he tells them the situation, and the Chafetz Chaim says, I'm telling you, if you accept, I'll give you bracha. If you accept, to be very careful on Shabbat. And they were, and the child had a bigger foolish lama. And they said, what was it that he asked them? He said, I want you to accept three things. It was that they shouldn't travel past Chatzot Friday afternoon after midday, not to travel after Chatzot. Even though, from what says in the Mishnah Berurah here, you could if you have things prepared for you. He said, I want you to do that. Also, that they shouldn't do any malachai after 18 minutes of candle lighting. And then, of course, you could do malachot up until Shkia, until sunset. But 18 minutes before, not to do malachai. That was another thing he asked them. The other thing was that from Chatzot they should have the table set. So, okay. Anyway, so he said. So they asked the nephew, what was it after the sun got better and everything went well? Yes. Well, why did the Chafetz Chaim give us this bracha? He said, because the Chafetz Chaim used to say, "Shem Yisrael Shabbat, Vasul Shabbat LeDorotam." Hashem gives a breed olam. Hashem gives a pact. If you keep Shabbat, Shabbat will keep you. And he says LeDorotam is for generations. So he said, look, I knew. He knew that you didn't have any other children. He was the only child. And the child was very sick. He wasn't going to live. And if you keep Shabbat, as I said, I'm going to have to keep you for generations. How am I going to keep you for generations? Obviously, it's going to get better. That's the story. So Rabbi Tursky here, Rabbi Meir Tursky, he's makbid not to travel, not because of the story per se. He doesn't travel after Chatzah. He won't travel. And okay, it's a chumrah. It's not the karet. Any karet, then you can. But the only point I'm saying is because to show how critically important it is to think about before what to do.
What do you consider as traveling? Like taking a car from here to Kifut? Is that traveling?
No, I don't think so. No, traveling is in like I'm going to spend Shabbat in Teaneck. And so he wouldn't go to Teaneck. He would go to Teaneck before Chatzot. He lives in right now. I don't know where he goes, but he. I don't know. This is what I heard Jonas Steinmetz. I heard that this is his Hanaga. This is very careful about. Meaning, the point of such a thing is to show how much we care about Shabbat, and we think about it in advance, we plan in advance.
Okay. Is not traveling after Chatzot an aspect of...
No, no, that's not that.
Being machmir for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that be fulfilling some aspect of Hachanah for Shabbat, or is it just...
Yeah. It's for sure included in Hachanah for Shabbat. It's included in something that's precious and nice. Is it halakha? It's not halakha. It's a minhag that he has, and it's nice, but the point is that it's not the absolute halacha. It shows for sure a concept that we appreciate Shabbat, we think about Shabbat. A lot of times, a lot of things of Shalot of Shabbat can be avoided if you think about it in advance. For sure. Carrying issues, sometimes avoided with the Eruv, not if you can, you can't avoid it. If you have your wallet and your backpack or something like that, and you're outside the Eruv, big problems. What are you going to do? You're going to leave it with a goy? Okay, but you may never see your wallet again. So that's why it's very, even if you're going to go on the subway, but you can't carry it outside unless you're going to be in the Eruv, big problems. Right. And then mukseh is its own issues with wild term mukseh. If you put them in a backpack with other things that are not mukseh, so you can move out tell it. But these are things that have to be, if you plan out, you can work on it. You don't plan them out. Not so good. Okay? So for people who work, especially in the winter, when you get to Shabbat close to Shkia, so then like, a lot of these things, the more you prepare and think about how you can get out early, whatever, the better.
Since Thursday, you have to be preparing already. Oh, yeah. Like, be ready, like, already have your plan set up, so you could get straight up, do a shower, be ready for Shabbat. Because I'm sure that they don't let you, like, leave from work past, before 12, like.
No, they won't let you leave before 12. No. Some places won't leave before 3. It just obviously depends on the firm, the place, the office, the firm, a million things. I have no idea. All right, so anyway, that was the main thing in Sif Aleph. Let's go on to Sif Bet. Okay, new topic, also about Fridays. Asur lekbo be'er Shabbat suda u'mishte. I turn the page now to, or my pages, and the other pages you don't actually have to turn anything. It's Bet. Over here, it's on. In this page is Yudalid. Okay, Fridays. Exactly. Fridays, are they a good day to have? Exactly. Okay, so let's try to get to that. There is an idea that it's asur to make a fancy meal on Friday. Why? What do you think?
We don't want to be filled.
We don't want to be full. Okay. that.
Not to make a fancy meal on Friday?
Shouldn't have a fancy meal on Friday. Why? You shouldn't be drunk, shouldn't be full, okay? Also, you want to distinguish Shabbat. Shabbat should be the time for having fancy meals. If I have a fancy meal on Wednesday, so it's like, it's not juxtaposed. It's not, exactly, there's a separation. But if I have a fancy meal on Friday, I'm basically saying, exactly, fancy meals on Shabbat are not important.
Then you should, and it would say, don't have a suidai any day of the week. It's
Shabbat. Part of the Friday, the Erev Shabbat Yid. The person who cares about Shabbat is, he makes sure that Friday is different than other days, even the other 5 days of the week. He makes sure not to make it special. Rav Masil Sharam learned from the Gemara. It says Rav Huna used to not have fancy clothing. He didn't own so much. He didn't own so many fancy clothing. So what would he do? Come Shabbat. The Gemara has two versions or two different stories there. One is that he'd take his regular weekday clothing, only one pair of regular normal clothing, and instead of folding it up so he doesn't get muddy, he'd roll down the hem a little bit. So it looked different for Shabbat. Okay, one nice story. The other one is he'd put on rags on Friday. He wore regular clothing on every day of the week. I think it's said by Rav Huna, yeah. Mr. Sharp quotes this, that he would wear regular clothing. He only had one nice pair of normal clothing. So he'd wear that on Shabbat too. But in order to make it special, on Friday he'd wear rags. He'd find whatever he had that was disgusting. Not disgusting, that wasn't kavod. He'd take whatever he had, wear that on Friday to show, I'm going to put on fancy clothing for Shabbat. For him, fancy clothing was what he had on other days, but he took Friday and made it less hashu. It's just an interesting concept. So the same thing a little bit applies by meals. Okay, you shouldn't make fancy meals on Friday. So what's really they discuss for sure, we don't really have this today, and I'm just skipping ahead, but we're not going to get into so much, is... No, they don't have it in Shulchan. The BSF, it says, having a wedding meal on a Friday, right before Shabbat, totally... not appropriate for having on Friday. What meaning? Because having Shabbat Brachot, people don't do it on Friday in the morning, I don't think. You ever saw that?
No, I was asking.
Oh, okay. Shabbat got married on Friday.
Oh, they did.
Shabbat was there.
Oh, exactly. That's what it says in the Beit Yosef. The minhag was they got married Friday afternoons. And then they had the meal, the wedding meal, on Shabbat. That's not a chisaron of kavod Shabbat. That's a adifut of kavod Shabbat. Because now they're going to bunch the meal of Shabbat together with the wedding meal.
Oh, so they had no music at the...
There's actually a big discussion. Could you have music on Shabbat if for a wedding? So there is the... The Knesset Gadol brings it up. Her name said that you can ask a non-Jew to play music on Shabbat. Lema'aseh, that you could do that because it's a mitzvah. It's enhancing the mitzvah. Lema'aseh today, that's not the minhag. We don't. The Mishnah Berurah does not follow that. And not, even though the Knesset Gadol is Sardi, there are. Ravadi even brings this. I don't think it's the minhag. It's not the minhag to do like that, to have music playing on Shabbat.
It's not the minhag because we don't get married on Friday.
We don't get married.
Is it not the minhag because even the people who get married on
Friday? No, it could be. It could be if they got married on Friday. It could be according to the starting would be mutar, but it just we don't really do that so often. Anyway, the Friday getting married on Friday in order to have a Friday night meal, does that take away from Shabbos? I don't think so. It adds to Shabbos. I'm going to have now a nice meal on Shabbos. And the reason that people did it, the minhag was that people did this for generations, because people weren't rich, so they couldn't make weddings. That would break the bank. That'd be $100,000, whatever. Be $50,000, and they had no money. So what they do? They invite all the people in the community, all their friends, all the family, come for Shabbat. And anyway, I'm going to make a nice meal for Shabbat. So now, instead of making it just for my small media family, I'm going to make it for more people. So what they had whatever they had. My father said my grandmother's wedding. They just had a wedding cake for everybody who in the community, and then afterwards, just for the media family, they just had a meal with chicken. It wasn't a fancy. This is my grandmother's wedding. This is like two generations ago. People didn't always have fancy weddings of $1 million. They had the wedding in the shul, and then they came home and they had a meal.
Unless you put one of those girls to marry with $10,000 wedding.
Like, $10,000 is nothing to it, right?
Yeah.
They talk about what happened. The numbers are astronomical. All right, anyway, so if they do it on Friday, that's not a problem if they have the meal on Shabbat. What about having the meal on Friday? So that's not appropriate for Shabbat. But here he says, I feel, oh, it's brought here. Sudat Erusin. Shouldn't have the Sudat Erusin on Friday, because if the Sudat of their engagement, halachic engagement, Erusin, on Friday, it's going to take away from Shabbat.
What's the difference between the...
Oh, okay. No, because the point is, it's possible to do in a way that you could avoid it. You can have the Suda Erusin.
But you would think for an Erusin we're going to give you a Heter?
Yes, like, you'd think so, and the reason is, very good, because Suda Mitzvah, a mitzvah that you can't push off, then you can have it on Friday. Milah. People, could you have a Milah on Shabbat? Absolutely. People do this all the time. People do it in the morning. Pidyon HaBen. So, yes, so Sfardim, the Chazon of Adya says,
you
cannot
do it at night.
Yeah, no. So Ashkenazim, Bedavka won't do it at night. Sfardim, Bedavka will do it at night. And for Friday, it's Sfardim definitely should do it at night, Friday, Thursday night. This way, they don't have to deal with having the Sunnah on Friday. That's true. But if someone has Minhag, they always do it during the day.
What do they do with the coins? The coins are more.
Yeah. Right. That's no. They can't do it on Shabbat. They do it on Friday. And we never do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbat. They'll do it Motzei Shabbat. That's the main thing.
Even they push one day off.
Yeah. No. We push it off one day. If we can't do it on Shabbat, we do Motzei Shabbat. The Pidyon HaBen.
So Ashkenazim would do it Sunday. We do it Motzei Shabbat.
Even Ashkenazim sometimes we do it Motzei Shabbat because. They don't want to try to. No, it's not 2 days because the halacha day is same, but they'll do it as close to as possible. Anyway, that's the main things over here. Just to mention one or two details of this Suda thing. When we mean a meal that you can't have, it means a fancier meal than normal. Having pizza or bagels or whatever you have on every day for lunch or whatever, that's fine on a Friday, no problem. After 9 hours, halachic hours into the day, which is two to three hours before sunset, you shouldn't have a meal of a kibitzah of bread. So you can have snacks, you can eat other things, eat a cookie or whatever, eat vegetables, but to eat a big meal then, Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't do that. So at this time, whatever now, 4:30 is going to be around 2:30. So from 2 or 2:30 and on, not to have a meal with bread more than a kibitzah, which is not so big. It's whatever.
You shouldn't fool yourself either, though.
Shouldn't fill yourself.
You can have spaghetti.
Like halacha would say, you can have spaghetti as much as you want, even 4 o'clock. Yeah, yeah. Now, if you do that, it's just going to be
all big meals have correct. a bread.
So then, the Mishnah Berurah says, shouldn't fill yourself up. This way, you have some space. That's for sure. But if you want to have a bread meal, you want a pizza, bagel, whatever, you want something
sure
that's...
Sure enough, 4 hours before, right?
Exactly. No, but not even 4 hours, just even two and a half, 3 hours.
Yeah. How about for, like, in the morning for Shacharis, like, not to eat before Shacharis? What's that?
Yes, different halakha. That's generally, we always want to save breakfast till after Shachari, because, when it says, it's not kavod Hashem that we should be eating before we pray.
Priority, yeah.
Yeah, we should prioritize it, we show that... This comes from the Gemara Sanhedrin. It comes from Pasuk Mishlei, Oti Hashlech Achrei Gavecha. That we didn't show kavod. We put our bodies, our spiritual, our physical bodies, our hunger before our spiritual hunger for tefillah, and that's not right. Yeah. Zohar has even, so to speak, like korban tefillah is connected korbanot, that we bring something special for Hashem, a korban, and that, so to speak, is lechem ishei rech nechoch Hashem. Those are, so to speak, Hashem's foods. So we shouldn't eat our breakfast where Hashem eats, so to speak. If he is the king of kings, king of the world, who should eat first? The servant or the king? The king should eat. We should serve him first. So we should give him tefillah, and then we should eat. So if someone needs to drink, you can have coffee, tea, water, that you can have before. But to have a meal, to have even foods, general foods.
Right. How substantial does it go if I want to put
milk and sugar? Milk and sugar, foods, otherwise we really should...
Why drinks, yes, and food? No.
If it's not mezonot, or what's going to be...
No,
fingers more...